in Psalm 148 is a praise to God for what He has done. Look at the first five verses. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the highest. Praise ye Him who? All ye angels. Praise ye Him, all His hosts. Praise ye Him, sun, moon. Praise Him, all ye stars of light. Praise Him, ye heavens of heavens, ye waters that are above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He what? He commanded and they were created. The angels, the heavenly hosts, He commanded and they were created. So they're created beings. Only God has been here from eternity. And there's a lot of things that we don't understand. Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to who? The secret things belong to God. A lot of things that God doesn't intend for us to understand. But the angels, the seraphim, the cherubim, the heavenly hosts around God's throne, those are all created beings. And some of those creatures we know, according to 2 Peter, and we read in other places, they sinned. They were cast out of heaven. Satan was among those who sinned. And we know most certainly that some of these, if not all, were created before the creation of the world. Because in chapter 2, we see who at work. We see Satan at work. So we know that this happened prior to that time. Okay? Now, the second question that comes to mind is, how did the creation occur? Well, God created it. He created it from nothing. He spoke it into being. And we know that. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3. Somebody read that. Hebrews 11 verse 3. Somebody turn over there and read that. Matt, will you read it? Can you find it? Hebrews 11 3.
Hebrews 11 3 says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible.
Okay. God didn't take something and make something out of it. He made it from nothing. He made it not from things that are seen. But He created it. He spoke it into being. He holds it by the word of His power. And one day He'll bring it to an end. And we realize that as we study the Word. Now, there are those who totally reject that God created the heavens and the earth. And they're evolutionists, atheists, whatever you want to call them. They treat the Genesis record as a what? It's a myth, a fable. They don't believe in it. And they've gone to great lengths to try to prove that evolution is true and that the Bible record is wrong. Greg and I were talking Wednesday night. They built this super collider and they're going to try to smash two protons together to see if that produces matter. Why? Well, they spent these billions of dollars to try to prove that evolution is true and that when they collided together, it created matter, when they could just buy a Bible for $10. But billions and billions of dollars have been spent to try to prove there is no God. You know, the creation of all that we have was just circumstance, and here's the proof of it. So they don't believe. They're atheists or evolutionists. But then there are those who we would call theistic evolutionists, who would say, yes, there is a God, but they try to harmonize the creation with evolution. And they use the gap theory, the day-age theory, the fact of literal days to try to prove that. Gap theory says that there was a long period of time between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2 that God created the heavens and the earth, but because of the struggle and the turmoil between Satan, it caused devastation on the earth. All life died. The earth was covered with water, so God had to recreate the earth. Well, there's nothing in the Bible that suggests that, and that's not true. We know that. By faith, we accept those things. Then there is the fact of the day age, that each day was not a literal 24-hour day. but was in fact millions or billions of years in between each day. Well, is that so? No. If you look over Genesis 1, look at verse 5, the end of verse 5. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Look down at verse 8. The evening and the morning were the first day. And so on and so on and so on and so on. So each day had a morning and an evening. So that it couldn't have been millions or billions of years that each day was. So then there are those who say, yes, there were literal 24-hour days. God did create in a literal 24-hour day. But there were long periods of time between each one of those days. Well, the Bible text doesn't suggest that either. So we have to reject those things. It's just not so. The reason they do that is why? They want to take science and the Bible and put them together and reconcile them and try to make them fit together. And it just doesn't matter. Why does that matter? Because if one rejects the creation account, what is he going to do? He's going to reject it all. There's ample evidence for us to see. Romans chapter 1, verse 20 says what? Somebody tell me. Invisible things of the world are clearly seen, but being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power in God's head, so that they are what? They're without excuse. There's plenty of evidence to see that God's word is true, the creation was made by God, and all these other things are just not so.
There. Are you going to get Genesis 20, verse 11 in there?
No.
That's one that you think you picked Genesis for record there. Before in 6 days, Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all things that are in there.
Oh, I did have that in there too. Yeah. Tied with the Sabbath rest. Yes. And that is true. In 6 days, God made the heavens and the earth. And on the seventh day, rested. Six literal 24-hour days. And that's the only way that we can see. All right, any other comment before we continue? Okay, we'll begin in Genesis chapter 1. 6 days, God created everything. Verse 1, verse 2, God created the heavens and the earth. The Spirit moved over the face of the waters. The earth was void. It was without form. There was no life. Now, that doesn't mean it was some big blob out there. But there was no distinguishing features. It was covered with water, and there was no life on the earth. The Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters, and God began to create all things. The first day, He created life. The second day, He created the firmament. He caused the waters beneath to rise above and created the air, the atmosphere that we breathe and exist in today. Day three, He created the dry land and the seas. He caused the land to rise up out of the water, and He also created what? Plants and trees. Okay, He created the vegetation, the grass, the herb, the fruit tree. Day four, He created the sun, the moon, and the stars. Now, don't get confused with the fact that on day one He created life, and on day four He created the sun, moon, and stars. Because, again, the secret things belong to God. We don't know. All we know is that on day one there was life. Did God Himself manufacture that light? Did He put something there for that lightness and darkness until He set everything in motion on day four? We don't know. But on day one He created light. Day four He created the sun, moon, and stars. He put everything in its rotation for signs, seasons, days, and years. And they've been doing that ever since. Day five, He created the fish in the sea and the fowl of the air. Day six, He created the land animals, the beasts of the field, the creeping things, and He created who? He created man. Okay. Day seven, God rested. Get in your mind those things, especially if you're going to teach. It's going to be hard to teach it if you don't have those things in your mind, the progression where God created. So it's not hard. Children will really enjoy learning that. I'm not going to make you learn that this morning, but get those things in your mind. of the progression of it.
That's the first question of the quiz.
That's the first question we used to know.
Question of the quiz.
Okay. Quiz we used to know. That's the first question. So, all right. Let's look at our text, Genesis 1, Genesis chapter 1. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the first day. So the earth was without form or life. There was no light. There was only darkness. The Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. God said, let there be light, and there was light. He called the light what? Day and the night, and the darkness night. The evening and the morning were the first day. On the second day, God made the firmament to divide the waters above from the waters below. And he called the firmament what? Called the firmament heaven. Now, is this the boat of God? No. No, this is the sky, the atmosphere, the space. Okay, different terms for the word heaven. Okay, so he called the firmament heaven, and it was so in the morning, and the evening and the morning was the second day. On day three, God caused the land to rise up out of the waters, divided the waters from the waters, and he called the dry land what? Earth. And he called the waters seas. Okay? Dry land was earth, the waters were seas. And God was pleased with what he saw. And God said, let earth bring forth grass and herb and the fruit trees whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth the grass and the herb and the trees with their seed in themselves. God saw that what he had done was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. On day four, God created the lights to divide the day and the night, and they served four purposes. What were those purposes? Signs, seasons, days and years. Okay? The seasons, the days, the years. He made the greater light to rule the day and the lesser to rule the night. And he made the stars also. And he saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. On the fifth day, God created the fish and the other creatures of the sea. He also created the birds of the air, and each was to multiply after its kind. God saw that that was good, and the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life and the fowl that fly above in the air and the open firmament. And God created in abundance the great whales and every creature that moves in the water and every winged fowl after its kind. And again, God saw what he had done and it was good. And God blessed him and said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. On the sixth day, God created the living creatures of the earth, cattle, the beasts of the field, the creeping things, the things that would crawl or have short legs. And it was so. So he made the beasts and the cattle and the creeping things after their kind. And what he'd done, he saw what he'd done, and it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let him have the rule over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and the beasts of the field and over all the earth and over every creeping thing. So God created man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a what? A living soul. What distinguishes man from the rest of creation? Okay. His ability to reason and his eternal soul. Okay. It's good. So, the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Chapter 2, on the seventh day, God ended his work and he rested. God's work in creation was finished. Now, the remainder of chapter 2 is an explanation of what we've already read that God did in chapter 1, the account of creation. We just were introduced to some things that happened during the creation process. So don't get confused with that. There was no rain on the earth. The Lord watered the earth with a mist. God formed man from the dust of the ground. He had the ability to reason He has an eternal soul who will live forever in one place or another, either in paradise or in punishment, in hell.
Chapter 1. Two word phrases used over in chapter 1 is, I think, significant. It's in verse 3, it's in verse 6, it's in 9, 11, 14, 20, 24, 26, and 29. It's two verses over and over. God said. I read where he spoke the thing in this.
Right.
He emphasized it over and over and over. All through chapter 1. God said this.
Good point. As we said again, he spoke it into being. He didn't have to sit there and make it. He didn't make it out of something that already existed. It didn't take him billions of years to do it. He spoke and it was created. He said, spoke, and it stood fast. It's a good point. Anytime anybody's got anything to add to the class, it just makes the class better. So don't be afraid to raise your hand and speak out. Anything else? Okay. God placed man in the garden, a special garden that he had created, the Garden of Eden. Put man in, told him to dress it. Every kind of tree grew there. The tree of knowledge of good and evil grew in the midst of the garden. The tree of life also was in the middle of the garden, or in the garden. He was to tend it, he was to keep it. Four rivers flowed into it, the Pison, the Gihon, the Hiddekel, which Daniel chapter 10 and verse 4 tells us was the Tigris, and the Euphrates. Two popular possible locations of the Garden of Eden. Some would place it up here, as the verse says, a river went out of Eden. It talks about the Pison encompassing the land of Havilah, which was well here. And then the Gihon, the land of Ethiopia, which would also be down here. And then Assyria, and of course, talks about the Euphrates. So, popular place that people had would be down here where the Persian Gulf is, and some people would place it north. Not that it matters, because it doesn't add or take away from the Bible story. But God placed them in the water, and he said in verses 16 and 17, one, or placed them in the water. He placed them in the garden. And verse 16 and 17, he told them what? Okay, you may eat of every tree of the garden, except for the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it, because in the day you eat of it, you will what? You will surely die. Okay? So the warning. They were to dress the garden, they were to keep it. They had a personal relationship with God, face to face. They were pure. They were sinless. God gave them one commandment. You can't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But God, as we said earlier, had already made a plan that if they sinned and ate of that tree, that there was a way to save men from his sins. It took several thousand years to bring that to pass.
Back up to verse 15, here's what that says.
All right.
God gave them something to do. Go there in paradise. Perfect garden to be created for them. He gave them something to do. Of black men behind. I agree. From the very, very beginning, there was darkness. There tended to be.
And God never tends for man to be out. Out of mind usually breeds things that it shouldn't. Good point. Okay. God created all things. He created man. But yet there was something missing. There was no helper found that was comparable to Adam. So God brought all the animals to Adam. Adam named all the animals. No companion was found for him. So he took a rib from Adam and formed woman. And Adam then in verses 23 and 24 gave the rules for marriage. Somebody read that. Rick, will you read that?
And Adam says, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall man leave his father and his
This is a rule for marriage from the beginning. Adam gave it. Now, Adam wasn't talking about leaving his father because what? He didn't have a place to father. He was the first man. He'd been created. One man, one woman for life. One exception, Matthew 19. And that's fornication. Jesus in Matthew 19, when they were asking him, why did Moses give us a writing and a divorce? He said, from the beginning it was what? From the beginning it was not so. This is God's rule for marriage. One man, one woman for life. Now, that's made light of in our society today. The norm today is just to live together. And that's brought about by moral decline in our nation. And the fact remains, no matter what man does, it doesn't want. Doesn't change God's law. God's laws remain the same. And from the beginning, God's law for marriage has been one man, one woman for life, ordained by God. And we can read time and time and time again the responsibilities that we have to our mates, to love them. That's not optional. You're told to love our wives, love our husbands, not just an infatuation. Respect, trust, patience, unselfishness, companionship, friendship, all of those things. And as it states in Genesis chapter 2, the reason is for a help, a strength. You know, a mate is a help to each other. They're a strength to each other. My wife is a help to me. She's a strength to me. Your mate's a help and strength to you. And that's what God intended it for. Marriage, a man and a woman together. Now, God never intended for a man with a man and a woman with a woman. He spoke against that in the Leviticus 18 when he gave the law to the Israelites. He said that was the problem in Romans chapter 1. What cities in Genesis would we use as an example to show that that was not God's intention? Sodom and Gomorrah. We've got Genesis chapter 18, chapter 19, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. God never intended that to be so. And again, just because our nation says it's okay, it doesn't change God's law. And that's going to continue to be a problem, I'm afraid, that our children are going to have to deal with very, very, very much. And us ourselves, it looks like, in our lifetime. Want to add anything?
God made another woman. Right? The woman, he made another man.
That's right.
1 Timothy 7:1. Each man had his own wife, his wife never her husband.
And there are classes where you can talk about that. We have junior high classes where girls and but you use that to your own discretion. But our children especially need to understand that that was not according to God's plan. And there are a lot of applications in this chapter. There are a lot of applications that we've made throughout this book. And we're going to try to point some of those out. There will be some that you think of that we didn't think of. And there will be some that we think of maybe that you didn't think of. But as we study this, we need to make those applications and we need to talk about those things. Anything else? Okay. Genesis 1 and 2 answers questions about God. It answers questions about creation. God spoke the world into being. He made it out of nothing. He stood it on its own axis. And he put all the laws of gravity in motion for things to remain from that time, even until today, into the end of the world. Now, God created things in 6 literal days, 24-hour days. On the 7th day, God rested. Now, I said we weren't going to do this. Since Wayne's going to put on a quiz question, let's do it right here. Day 1, God created what? Okay, day 1, God created what? Day 2, God created what? Okay, day 2, God created firmament. I don't hear real good, so this tends to be yelling at your husband or your wife or whatever. I hear you. Alright, day 3, he created what? Okay. Okay, dry land, seas, plants, and trees. It rhymes. Just think about it. He created the light first. Then he separated the waters and created the atmosphere, the firmament. Then he caused the dry land to rise out of the water. Remember, the earth was covered with water. So he made the dry land and the seas, and then he created the vegetation. Dry land, seas, plants, and trees. Okay? Day four, he created what? Sun, moon, and stars. Okay? Now, why do we have light on day one and didn't create sun, moon, and stars till day four? We don't know. We don't know. We accept by faith that God did that. Okay? Day five, God created what?
Fish
and fowl. Okay? The birds of the air, the fish in the sea, the great whales. Day six, God created, first of all, what? Land animals and man. Okay? Put man in the garden, gave him the commandment not to eat the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Told him to tend the garden, take care of it. Day seven, God rested. Look over to Exodus chapter 20, verse 11. God there is giving the laws to Moses, and he tells him that the Sabbath day is to be holy, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So, why was the seventh day special? Why were they to keep the seventh day?
Oh, God had introduced
God rested and made it a special day. So when God's given the law to Moses, he ties it back to the creation, to the Sabbath day when God rested. Okay? So God rested on the Sabbath day. Keep those in your mind. And we'll try to take this at a pace and make it interesting to those of you who've been studying this for 14 years, but also not leave anyone behind that hasn't studied this before. And we've got all those in here. As I said Wednesday night, we got people here from the beginning. I was here. Some of you were here at the beginning when we started this study. We got people in here that haven't been through this before. So we want to make this fit for everybody, and at the same time, give those of you who are teaching something to think about and to stir your mind as you prepare your class material to teach the children the next quarter. Anything to add?
Wednesday night, chapter 3.
I was asked Wednesday night, you know, first class we did the 17 periods, second class we did an overview of Genesis, and I was asked, well, did y'all have time to do that and remain true to the schedule? And I'll try to get y'all a copy of the schedule Wednesday night. I'm also trying to get 4 or 5 books this week. The class schedule is built on 22 lessons. There are 23 lesson weeks or lesson periods in this study, in this particular month, group of months. So we had an extra class, so we were able to do that. And also, in the schedule, there are two classes, lessons that are built around the creation. We compress that into one. So that's where we got the time to take those first two classes to get everybody up to speed and to talk about those things. Now, on this schedule, the important thing is start at the starting point, end at the ending point. What you do in the middle is up to you. You're going to have to gear that to whatever class you're teaching and what age group you're teaching to make that fit within. We changed it a little bit. I'll give you that schedule also. But as I said, the main thing is start and stop at the right place. What you do in the middle is up to you. Thank you all for your attention.